Hi, I'm Carissa Powell.
Hey, it's Tara Coleman.
All right, so now you're in a meeting, either as a facilitator or a participant, thinking about meeting culture. What does meeting culture look like for you, Tara?
So for me, meeting culture virtually is really similar to meeting culture in real time. Your organization has written and are spoken and unspoken rules. What you wear every day. Can you be late? Are you allowed to look at your phone, have a laptop, et cetera? So meeting culture for me is, are you allowed to mute your screen or not? Do you need to be wearing real clothes or can you wear jammies? Can you be driving your car while you have these meetings? And I'll tell you this, if you don't say it out loud, someone in your meeting is going to break an unspoken rule that you had that nobody knew about and you will be angry. So I would say start it off strong by saying that. Spend 5 or 10 minutes. If you don't want to have a discussion, given, you know, your role in the organization, you can just state what the rules are. A committee that I lead is very large, and I did not have a discussion. I did state some non-negotiable rules, and then I opened it up for suggestions. So the non-negotiable rules were, you have to wear clothes. And I know that sounds silly. I had to say that in the class I taught, you have to wear clothes. And I gave an example of in Zoom, you know, in COVID times, you also need to make sure your roommate's wearing clothes. So if you are in class and your roommate walks by in a towel, that's not cool. So you should wear clothes. I ask that we mute ourselves until we talk, and then you unmute yourself. And that was because of the size of our committee. I also request, please don't be driving because of a safety issue. And then I just say, like in the classroom or in a meeting, if you need a bathroom break, mute yourself. You can go in the chat and say, be right back, and then step out. So those are the ones that I have. Do you have any that you've observed or you wish you had in meetings?
I don't know if anyone else experienced this, but early on in the pandemic, we're doing, everything is on Zoom. And I had this realization that I didn't know what I was supposed to do if I needed to go to the bathroom during a meeting. And I just, it was such a weird realization. I know I can go to the bathroom, but I didn't know what my organizational norm was at the time. I think that those are things that we probably didn't know were going to be an issue. Everything else was happening, pandemic was going on. But I think those are things that are good to, now that we know that we're doing this, if you haven't set those norms, especially if it's an ongoing meeting, you meet once a month, every other week, et cetera, to just let people know how you want to be communicated with.
I agree. I tell you, if you are the person who gets really frustrated at what people are doing, while your frustration is legit, it could be because you never articulated that something was going to be frustrating. So I always lean on, be explicit, even if it feels like it's unnecessary. The more unnecessary it feels, the more necessary it is. Another issue that happens in Zoom time and in, I want to call it outside time, the opposite of COVID, is that you're in a meeting and nothing gets accomplished. I know you have experienced that, Carissa. What has that been like for you?
Yeah, I think that can be super frustrating. Maybe you didn't have an agenda. Maybe you're doing a check-in meeting. Maybe you have an agenda, but item A took the majority of the meeting and item B you never got to. I think those are very common things to happen. I really recommend using other tools to help you accomplish those goals. So maybe you notice you're running out of time and you say, we never got to item B. I'm going to email this out afterwards and gather feedback over email or in this survey. And so I think it's okay for the main goal to not be accomplished. I think something that would be beneficial is using other avenues to get that completed. Or like Tara said earlier, if it's an ongoing meeting, bump it to the top of the agenda at the next meeting.
Yeah, I think that if nothing is accomplished, it could be because of poor meeting management or facilitation where you didn't have a truly articulated goal and you had some scope creep. some ways of getting around that could be just saying that this is a discussion and we're not making a decision in the meeting, and do it in another way. I have used some really awesome tools to help keep me on track. If we're discussing something that is complicated or challenging, or people interrupt others because they're afraid they'll lose their thought, it's something like Padlet, where I will come up with the questions in advance and I'll have it set up in Padlet. So as we get to the discussion, you can say it out loud or you can put it in the Padlet so you don't forget it. That helps the people who are quiet, people who are afraid they're going to forget, etc. I have also asked that people share things in a survey, and then I have shared that data later. It's really helpful if, again, quiet people, people who are afraid. It allows some level of anonymity. I'll say that most of the time I use surveys, people have to share their name. I will see it. So there is accountability. It's not like they're anonymous to me as the facilitator. And that offers a level of protection for people who are worried about repercussions, but they're still accountable for what they say. And then again, I can share that out raw, or if it's a sensitive subject, I can do some coding and share themes so that it's still authentic to what was shared, but no names are out there. So there's, again, levels of protection. These tools are also helpful if you are in a situation where not every voice is being heard. So again, I lead our university's Common Reading Program. We sometimes have 60 people in the room. 60 people cannot have a conversation. Sometimes, like this year has been really challenging with some of the social justice issues going on. I will tell you this, I'm a woman of color and I'm not participating in any of these conversations about race because I am tired of always having to be the person. So if you see me in a room and are all staff and we're talking about systemic racism, I am muted and I'm not participating, not because I don't think it's important, but because I'm tired of being that person. So if you create an avenue for me to share feedback so that I am not the teacher, the therapist, the fill in the blank person, I'll share in that way. I also think it helps the people who aren't comfortable because they maybe feel like they're being attacked or any other level of emotion. So you have those different avenues can help multiple different types of people. What do you do to make sure that people are heard in meetings?
I think it's very easy for folks to either not have the opportunity to speak up or not feel comfortable speaking up. I think something else that I see happen sometimes is that one or a few people are dominating the conversation. Maybe they feel really, really comfortable sharing and they're just on a roll. And that can make it really hard for other people to participate or cut in, especially on Zoom. I find this to be an even bigger issue in Zoom. Maybe by the time you unmute yourself, someone else is talking. Maybe you both talk at the same time. I think something to help with this is to just name what you see happening as the facilitator. You can say, thank you so much. I would love to hear from someone who maybe hasn't had the chance to speak yet. And that's just, you're being transparent about what you're witnessing happening. And it really invites maybe a quieter person in the meeting, that it's signaling to them that this is their moment to step in.
I love that. I led a meeting where I asked that because of the size, everyone mute themselves. And then they used the raised hand function in Zoom. And we called on people in order. And I don't like that, but it helped so much. So we didn't have anyone dominating. And if someone's hand was always raised, I could look around and call on some quieter people. One thing that I've done in the classroom that really helps in meetings is to say out loud, I count to 10 before I call on people because some people need a little more time to respond. And my people who tend to dominate, if I've had to pull them aside to talk about it, they're like, oh, I didn't say anything because that silence was uncomfortable. Like, that's such good information to know. If they're uncomfortable by the silence, just say, you're so great. But some people need a little more time. So if we could, maybe you can count to 15. And then if no one's jumped in, then you speak up. Because a lot of times they're not trying to be jerks. They are just uncomfortable. And I am using uncomfortableness as a tool, but I want to give other people space.
Now we're after the meeting. the meeting has taken place, that doesn't mean that meeting management is over. There's a last step to continuing this beautiful cycle of meetings. We recommend sharing record that the meeting happened. Tara, what does that look like when you're a facilitator? What do you do after the meeting is over?
It depends on the type of meeting, the content, and who was involved. Sometimes I'll record a meeting. When I do that, I'm only doing it if it was, let's say, announcements, people sharing happy things. I will not record a meeting and share it out if we have had anything that was confidential, if people got emotional in a way that I feel I would need their permission to share out. Also, you really need to be in contact with your university's record management person. We have an Open Records Act that if we record a meeting, it needs to be accessible. And maybe you don't want that to happen. So if you are not, if you don't want people to be able to pull your recording and look at it later, don't record the meeting at all, or this is probably not what you're supposed to do, delete it afterwards. I have used Zoom to transcribe meetings, and I will record it for that function and then delete it. I'm probably breaking a rule, so definitely check. But if that's not the case, hopefully you can capture as much as you need to share out in some sort of minute or note field. And there's a lot of ways of sharing that out. How do you share out what happened in a meeting?
Again, I agree. It depends on the meeting. I think if everyone is comfortable with it, sometimes I record the meeting on Zoom and share the recording afterwards. And then more often than not, I just share out notes or action steps or reminders, especially if something needs to take place after the meeting, like fill out this form, next meeting is XYZ.
I love that. And here's something that I find really helpful and gets positive responses. Let's say that we decided on March 3rd, this thing's going to be to happen, or Carissa agrees to do this by Tuesday. Our work culture is to put appointments on people's calendars, and I will put a reminder on someone's calendar. So if something is due on Friday, I'll set a reminder on Wednesday at 8 o'clock that just pops up and says, on Friday, you agreed to submit your report by 5 p.m. And then on Friday at 4 o'clock, another reminder will pop up that says, your thing is due at 5. For me, it's just a meeting appointment that's 0 minutes long. People can decline it if they don't like it, but it helps keep people on track. And it's a good reminder for me to follow up in person or in an email to make sure that information is gathered. I also like that because it is, it allows me to, if something happens later and maybe someone is upset that they didn't know they were supposed to do something, I can say, well, you accepted the appointment that was a reminder. Let's talk some more about this. And in general, I've gotten some really positive feedback from doing that.
I love that. So this is our tips and tricks on what to do before, during, and after a meeting. We would love to hear from other folks if you are a participant or a facilitator, things that you have found to make meetings more manageable.
Thanks for listening. This is Tara Coleman.
And I'm Carissa Powell.
Peace out.
Bye.